listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Hello, this is JP. This is June the something. July the 14th. Oh, the 14th of July. That's the Bastille Day, isn't it? Yes. Well, happy French independence for all you French descendants. I don't know how many French descendants there might be in the listening audience. Anyway, so welcome to Journeys with JP. Tonight, well, I just have to say, I just had a whole load of visitors. I mean, I suppose it's the middle of summer. It doesn't feel like the middle of summer because it's raining all the time, but it's the middle of summer, and a couple of my friends are touring musicians, and they sort of just pass by, and even if it's late at night, but being musicians, they've just been doing a gig in the hall and passing by on the way back. And then Tree Paul comes by, who's a local crazy character, and so I had this enormous, like, all these people in my house. I'm just about to do a show. Please go away. So, out of the morass of that, it was quite interesting because part of the conversations that we were having, relate to what we're talking about tonight. And tonight I'm going to be talking about, in some, oblique manner, the tweaking of the natural. Is there a better way of putting it? I don't know, but that's what just came up to came in my mind. The tweaking of the natural, and I want to talk about various instances and make what of it what you will. We know that there is a control grid, and we need to know the methods of the control grid. And one of the methods of the control grid is by distorting nature ever so slightly, so we don't know there's something wrong. You can't really tell, but it feels slightly wrong. But we then are told that it is okay, it is right, and then we live with the cognitive dissonance of that. So, for instance, we may be listening to our favorite music, and our favorite music is maybe rock music or metal music or this or that. And that we're becoming entrained to it. It becomes the soundtrack of our life. We see how it's projected in movies. We see the images that are associated with these tunes, and they become the illustration of the feeling. What feelings sound like. But as I say, with the this has happened since about 1936 or the mid 1930s, is that the music has been altered. Now, if I were to use the technical term raised in pitch, or raised in frequency, or if you're talking about a stringed instrument made more highly strung. Give you an idea of what I'm talking about, that the instruments in the orchestra were tuned just as a little bit more, and it makes the sound kind of slightly brighter. And this is essentially the movement towards what is known today as the 440 standard. Basically, well, there is no basic about it. It's, music is based on a geometric situation. If you take one cycle, per second, and, as you know, or as you are about to know, if you double the frequency of a frequency, if you double a frequency, you're multiplying its hertz value by two. That means you're doubling the frequency. So that illustrates, like in a guitar string, you actually halve the length of it, because frequency and length are the inverse proportional. So like a big long string makes a big low sound, and a little tiny string makes a little tiny sound. That's the function of its length. And if you divide the length by two, your string will vibrate at an octave different. And you can see that, and that's what's known as the first harmonic. And if you divide your string by three, that's when things start getting very interesting. You get then produce a note that is known as the fifth, or the perfect fifth. That's the second harmonic. And if you keep going from there, basing your string vibrations on those relationships, you end up with the naturally tuned instrument. But the tuning is to itself. When you have to play with other people, you have to take a standard. And nowadays, if I were to turn up at any guitar festival or music event, jam session, it would be assumed that I would be tuned to the standard. If I was playing with 432, which is the other standard, the older standard, I would be out of place. Now, why is this interesting? The very, very slight increase in tension, literally in the string, creates a very, very slight increase in tension in the chemicals that are coursing through your body. The music is made to be more exciting. And so we see that the effect of music in the last 50, 60 years, more and more, has been to be more and more exciting. And then we've discovered more and more discordant ways of stimulating the brain to jerk and pop around. And it's all to do with frequency and the relationships of frequency to the human body and to the structure of it and to the structure of the universe and all things between. Let's see. I'm just having a quick look at the chat. If you do have any points, and if you can actually see what point I'm getting to, please put it in the chat room, see if I can find it. But where I'm getting to, actually, is various things that I've learned over the last week, and we'll how they integrate in with the great journey. So, we have the old tuning, what I call the old tuning, or the classical tuning, or the Eastern tuning, in fact, because they still have that standard over in the East, in India, for instance. And it's just a little bit down from our regular frequency. So basically, what we regard as normal music to the East, and in fact to our inner selves, who still, have been evolving for millions of years, and still like the old way, we're uncomfortable with it. But we're made to feel that this discomfort is to do with other things. It's put elsewhere. So we have a kind of displaced discomfort about the music that we listen to, if you follow my drift. So in about the 1930s, the German Philharmonic Orchestra wove its way around the world, tweaking everybody. They must have had nice uniforms. Boss designed the SS uniforms. It was they had good uniforms. Apparently they played good football. And they created a very, very slight tweaking away from that which is natural. And it almost feels like it's taking it to a mathematical perfection. And you could think about it like that. Because when you work with A at 440, and remember, when you divide it by two, you halve it. You go down an octave. And when you multiply it by two, you go up an octave. And so, if you divide, for instance, 440, it divides kind of slightly more nicely. It goes down to 440, 220, 110, 55, and then bang, it hits 27.5, which is, you know, not quite a nice figure. Whereas if you had 432, you'd come down, you'd go 432, 216, which is 6 cubes. You then go 108, which is the number of beads in a Tibetan mala. And then you come down to 54. You can then divide 54 and come down, and then you've got 27, which divides the 13 and a half. Things start getting granular again. But when you get to these numbers, 54. Now, remember, we're talking about slight tweaks to the natural thing. In Britain, we have a frequency of 50 cycles a second on our on-tap mains, electricity, our wall sockets. 240 volts, which is a lot of volts. Quite enough to kill you if you got it wrong. But quite good if you want to drive a motor really fast. It's really quite good for running motors. Like Hoovers and washing machines and things like that. Anyway, but you can get low voltage motors. It doesn't matter. So in America, you have a frequency of 60 cycles a second. In fact, if you were to go to any group of people, and you got everybody sitting, you know, say you were talking to people in an audience, and you got them to all at one time say, you know, just sing a note, then in America, they would get 60 cycles a second. In Britain, and our hum is about this, hang on. Ooh, and that's close to a G, but it's not the A. And what's interesting is that they're not quite there. Where one's down and one's up. I would like to propose that the frequency of mains electricity is regulated from this point onwards at 54 cycles a second, because that would be a note that would resonate with the heart center of everybody and probably all animals as well. So that's my vote. So does it matter? Does it care? All right, no. So they're talking about now. That's a anyway. So it would be interesting if anybody's if anybody really cares about what I'm saying here. I'm just checking on the chat room here. Good evening, everybody. Yes, live journeys with JP. Tonight is I'm very happy to rant on about this frequency thing. It's not the frequency thing itself. It's the tweaking. I just want to point out these places in our lives that we think are just normal things. I want to point out that they are, even down to this detail, our world is being distorted and we're being manipulated to be less in our present body. You know, if we're present, we're able to make correct decisions because we can feel and see the truth. It's all part of the one. Oh. Why is that sweet? I don't know why my... I'm sure I didn't put any tea. Maybe somebody put... Oh, that's right. Porter. Anyway. That's really crazy. I just took a sip of my tea and I didn't realize that I'd put sugar in it. But, yeah. It's a long story. That was a really weird little scene that happened just an hour ago. Anyway. Anyway, so you can't beat fun in the old chat room. So, so I'm talking about, how things have been tweaked slightly. So essentially our, natural, resonance, which is to 432 cycles a second as A. So, it's a, we could call it the standard of 432. If people understand what that means now, it's, you know, if you don't understand, if you don't like live with music, it doesn't really make much difference to you. But it does when you feel it. And particularly if you're psychic, you can really feel it and you can really feel like the intent behind music and things like that. And in a way, if music is played, using the 432 standard, then the intent of the musician comes through a lot cleaner and clearer, because there's less emotional obfuscation. Yes, love that frequency. Oh yes. Okay. Well, I got to read that, Swami. Oh, excellent. So, okay, so we got the 432. Let's also talk about, you know, lots of people are aware of Jimi Hendrix being an amazing musician, blah, 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 blah. But he did one thing that, people have always been slightly confused by. And that's that he tuned down his, guitar. He made it slightly flat. And I believe it was an attempt to bring it closer to this natural sounding. And I'm not aware that he was aware of the frequencies. He probably would have been, because he's always thought, you know, if six was nine and these numerological connections and he didn't speak very clearly. All these people, they never spoke very clearly, but somebody seemed to understand what they were saying, and they seemed to be very profound. Yeah. So, 54 cycles a second is where I think mains electricity should be, because then people would resonate with it. And 54 cycles a second is two octaves below the frequency of mains. Now, I believe somebody was actually talking about this on Rev Radio last night. Or somebody was. I heard somebody talking about this. It was a fascinating thing, and it was exactly what I've been thinking. That, okay, so let's take another example of something that is natural that is then slightly tweaked. Okay, so we've all heard of the Fibonacci sequence, you know. It's the rotating spirals, the rotating rectangles, the spinning spirals, the squares that kind of get bigger, you know, and there's a certain proportion. You've got this, rectangle that, if you take the rectangle and then, turn it on its side and make a square out of the longest side, you end up with, rectangles that's the same shape, but just turned on its side and made larger. And then if you make another square based on the new length of the length, long length of the rectangle, yes, rectangle's got one long length and one short length. You make a square out of that, and then you add, you'll see that that again creates a self-similar thing. This is one of the first fractal images we can think about. And if you say the first square is one and one, it will then go up in this numerical sequence called the Fibonacci sequence, which is one and one and two and three and five and eight and 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, 288. Okay, so here's the thing. When you take each of those numbers, and these are natural numbers, so remember what how we started. We started off with a rectangle, and then we make a square from the edge of the rectangle to make another rectangle, like the combination of the square and the original rectangle. They're the same shape in this proportion. It's called the golden mean. And if you do it with numbers, as in this Fibonacci sequence, and then you take the difference between it, not the difference, the ratio of them. So it's going 2 to 3 to 5 to 8 to 9 to 13. So if you do 2 over 3 or 3 over 5 or 8 over 13 or 13 over 21 or 21 over 34, actually it's about 20. When you get to 21 over 34, it becomes a workable number as 1.618. And if you're working in stuff like wood, then that's about as accurate as you need to get. So a figure of 1.618 is good enough. And you can see that that's actually like two-thirds. This is about two-thirds, or thereabouts. And the further down the Fibonacci sequence you get, the closer that number gets to the next number along in the sequence. And that's called a convergence. And eventually it will converge to a number. And I can't remember what it is, but it's, you know, it's about 8 places or 9 places, and it'll hit a figure. And that figure is known as phi, P-H-I. And it's denoted by a circle, with a vertical line through it. And, it's known as the phi ratio, and the phi ratio is found everywhere in nature. And it's the way that nature grows. Everything in nature, your body has this ratio in it all the time. You look down at your hand and you look at the first joint, the second joint, and the third joint of your fingers. The difference between each of the lengths of those pieces of bone are the Fibonacci sequence. It is that phi ratio. It happens all over your body. It happens all over nature. It's how trees grow. Because it's natural, you know, it's obvious. It's geometric. You can't argue with geometric. It's gonna have to have a t-shirt. You can't argue with geometric. And so where does that connect? The Fibonacci sequence is about propagation. Things propagate in the Fibonacci ratio. So, it's a path of least resistance, which is why you find many things grow in that kind of spiral thing. You know, that, you see all those, seashells and, vegetables, those lovely little, I can't remember that name of the special, Romanesque, I think it's called a Romanesque. And it just looks like one of those computer generated fractal pictures with, in green. Very beautiful thing. Fibonacci. So, when I was asked to design a pyramid, made out of copper to sit on your head on bronze, I had to do a lot of research to find out exactly what the real right pyramid, the correct pyramid was, and how to build it, and what all the angles meant, and why use this particular angle. And the Fibonacci sequence does come up, because it comes up as the ratio between the side and the cosine of the base. So the slope of the angle, 51 degrees, 51 seconds, 51 minutes, 51 seconds, the slope of that has a cosine of 0.618, which is interesting, isn't it? So it's to do with phase angle. Because cosine is phase angle. Yeah, nerds on Studio A, nerds on Studio B. Yeah, phi is in everything, indeed. Yes, it's in my tea. So, when you got your phi ratio, you can build pyramids. And what that does is phi bridges pi and, you know, because it bridges the circle. You can, all right, so how does, oh, man. All right. So how does the pyramid relate to the circle? So this is an interesting one. So, one of the reasons, one of the things that, I learned about what, the people who build churches and temples is all about is that it's a combination. All temples, in all places are built on a square and a circle. And the circumference of the circle is the same length as the perimeter of the square. So, for instance, if you had a 9-inch square that made four sides of 9 inches, and you made a 36-inch loop, then this is what I'm talking about. You've got a loop that is 36 inches long, that is curved around to itself, so it's got now a perimeter of 36, and your square of 4, and you'll find that the corners just about hold the circle. So you've got little triangles pointing out of a circle, with the square sitting inside it. This is known as the circle squared, and from what I can gather, if anybody's happy to correct me on this, but this is how temples are built, is because the square represents the male principle and the circle represents the female principle, and that the temple is a place where the male and the female, i.e. the left brain and the right brain, meet in the corpus callosum, and the pineal gland can get activated, that's what a temple does. So it's like we spend most of our time 60-40, 55-45, 70-30. But in a temple, because the resonance and the vibration is what it is, this is what it's for. It's to help us balance our left and right hemispheres so that we can actually make our own contact with the divine inside us, which all it is waiting for is us to sit in the middle and not be freaked out and just be cool. And that's why it's good to sit inside a square and circle that are tuned to each other. So basically, if you have an antenna that is 36 inches long, it will transmit a wave 36 inches long. That's the wavelength. And by dividing that by the speed of light, you get an idea of the length of the frequency of the wave. And so with the wavelength, when people talk about, oh yes, we're on the same wavelength, yeah, we really understand each other, and things like that, they're talking about, essentially they're saying they're on the same frequency. Frequency equals wavelength. Wavelength is frequency. And indeed, when you're talking about frequencies of light, when I'm buying, for instance, LED lights, these specific frequencies that you hear about, that wavelength is measured. The frequency is not measured in like gigahertz or terahertz, because it's such a huge number. It has no sense anymore. So they talk about the wavelength, and they talk about the wavelength in terms of nanometers, which is, what is that mega? Micro? Milli? Oh, sorry. Yes, it's huge. It's like a nano is a really small fraction. 1 billionth, I think. I think a micro is a millionth and the nano is a billionth. Yeah. And then there's pico and femto and, but anyway, nanometers is the wavelength of light. So light will go from, 300, which is a kind of, ultraviolet frequency, down to about 600, which is, in the red band. So, it goes backwards because wavelength is inverse to frequency, as we know in physics. The longer the wavelength, the lower the frequency, and the shorter the wavelength, the higher the frequency. And you can think of it again in terms of like a long guitar string makes a low note and a little guitar string makes a high note. There's a perfect parallel there. And yeah, we don't talk about wavelength in terms of a guitar, because we can vary the tension on the string and then it makes it difficult to standardize that until we tune the note of the length according to the standard, which is where we started. Hang on, let me just check this chat room here. I have the Wolf Spirit Radio phone, so I can maybe run this little jingle here. Oh, what happened to that? Yeah. I can run maybe this there. Oh, I wish I could find things when I needed them. Yeah, so you can call in on 702-879-4770, wolfspirit.switchboard1, or indeed you can call the Revolution Radio, which is 6-8 something. I know. See, this is what you do. You say number to type in number into the chat room, and then Hammerhead says something. Yes, Hal will tell us that Studio B is 310-421-4053. Oh, I've got so many numbers to deal with, you know, and sometimes I'm producing on Studio A, so that's the number. So anyway, yeah, 310-421-4053. In fact, if you want to call in and you're on Revolution Radio and you've forgotten what I just said, just type in the word number into the chat room, and Hal, because he's a computer, will say it over and over again. You just type number, 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 and he'll just say, join us on the air at Studio A. Anyway, Studio B, this is Revolution Radio, 310-421-4053. Okay, I want to be slightly awkward. I'm always a bit awkward about asking for money anyway. So we need to ask for some money. Dave Corso needs to collect for a chair, an electric wheelchair that he needs to get about the studio here in Parump. So he's fundraising for that. So if you wish, you can go to wolfspiritradio.com and pop a $5 into the PayPal donation or something to fundraise. I don't know how far we've got to go. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, if everybody puts in $1.618-0339-887, then they will be able to afford, maybe you'll be able to afford some pie. Anyway. So, yeah, well, it's always interesting looking at the, trying to figure out whether it's for me or for somebody else. Anyway, so yes, meanwhile, back at frequencies. So we've looked at the spinning squares and the Fibonacci sequence. One of the aspects of the Fibonacci sequence is the actual numbers themselves, is that these numbers kind of pop up. You know, they're Fibonacci numbers. If anybody's a fan of Richard Hoagland, you will have heard his conversation regarding the number of meteors that hit Jupiter when Shoemaker-Levy broke up, because he said it's exactly 21, not 22 or 20. Yeah. Anyway, and this is the thing. The Fibonacci sequence. 1, 1. Okay, you add 1 and 1 together. That's a square, isn't it? Just picture that in your mind. And 1 and 1 make 2. So you then make a rectangle that has 1, that is 1 unit by 2 units. And then the next one you make is 3. So you make another square that has the side of 3, and that has now made a rectangle, the side of 3 and 5, and so on and so on and so on. So 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. So we are already aware of the significance of 144. That's 12 12s. It's gross. It's a gross. Gross misconduct and all those other jokes. And then we have 89, which is a rather odd number. It's just, you know, it is an odd number. But 89 is it's not a big number. It's not like kind of big in its thing. However, a credit card, if you get your rulers out, you will find is 55 millimeters by 88 millimeters. So you may say, why? Why is that so significant? Well, like I say, this is what they have done to reduce our naturalness, our humanity. So, if you could make a credit card, if you have the choice, make it 89 millimeters long. Just that tiny bit. That produces the golden section rectangle with the correct phi ratio sides. And it is natural and it radiates a certain energy. And if it doesn't, it radiates a certain other energy, an energy of slight constriction. And isn't that what credit cards do to you? Think about it. So we find that our means of exchange has been hijacked. We find that our pleasure, our motivation, music is used for so many things in people's worlds. All of these things get hijacked. Nature is tweaked. So we talked about the mains frequency that it, as I said, in Britain is 50 hertz and in America is 60 hertz. Was that arbitrary? Was it meant to divide us? You know, it's quite a fundamental thing. It literally is fundamental. Because whether you hear it or not, every radio, every wire, every piece of wire that carries an AC signal is an aerial. And it's transmitting it. And that's how you find wires in walls. There's little machines that you can detect wires in walls. That's how it does it, because every electric wire is making a little radio frequency. We have seen that using radio waves at even very small quantities can have a healing effect on somebody. So, likewise, it can have a harmful effect on somebody. And it may be that you're in an environment where electromagnetically you're being disrupted. Now, everybody, as we've discovered, has their own frequency, their own signature frequency. My many-time guest, Shari Edwards, has proved many times that this frequency is connected with the astrology of a person, connected with the time and place they arrived on the planet. An imprint, signature. It affects you. It patterns you. It's the hole that you were extruded out of. So does anybody want to come in and talk about this kind of thing? Because I'm fascinated by these things. But essentially, this is the way that the Illuminati create a false reality around us. So, for instance, what would be a very natural, relaxed frequency becomes a sluggish 50 cycles or an overexcited 60 cycles, and never a calm and measured 54. It's messy. It's slightly messy. It's not, not you know, numerologically, you know, numerically, it's a bit messy. You know, sometimes you might have to deal with a fraction or two. But we got computers now. We can take fractions down to micro, you know, we don't have to worry about fractions. We don't have to worry about divisions or calculations these days. Sometimes it's not convenient to build circles. It's easier to build straight lines. And that's why we have houses that are blocks. It would be nice if houses were domes. It would be more natural to our minds. And people who live in round buildings have a different attitude. Really, if you think about it. You think about the Mongolian Empire. They all lived in yurts. They didn't live in houses. So they had a roundhouse attitude. So, oh, Bye-bye Cortex. So, that's, you know, I'm just trying to think that. So there was the, so there's the credit card that has been, turned from 89 to 88. Now, 55 by 88, yeah, that sounds really good, doesn't it? 440 sounds good. It's got that double four, you know. It's a bit like it's a slightly more glamorous number system. I know it sounds absolutely crazy what I'm talking about. You know, what? Numbers? Is it really important? Yeah, it is really important. Because you can heal with frequency. You know, if you can give somebody a frequency of 523 cycles a second, and the arsenic leaves their body, and in 18 months their body is cleared of arsenic poisoning. You can't argue with that. It's just like that's as it is, and there we go. And so it's possible to heal with frequency. It's possible to harm with frequencies. It's possible to construct with frequencies, and it's possible to levitate with frequencies. Area code 985. Hello, who's that?
All right, how you doing? This is Larry, also known as the Practical Madman.
Larry the Practical Madman. Hello, how are you doing, mate?
All right, I'm fascinated by your subject tonight because this has been a fascination of mine for a long time. I'm a guitar player and ran across the 432-440 controversy in the past. And I was just wanting to bring up one thing. Do you know who actually changed it from 432 to 440?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it was the overall responsibility of Joseph Goebbels.
You're exactly right.
So, finance, do you have some story on that? Give us a bit of background on that, because I'm not that clear on it, and I always love to learn from people.
Well, Joseph Goebbels, who actually started it was John D. Rockefeller, and he wanted it started in Europe because Germany was actually the home and the origination of most of the music at that time. Germany was a very cultural society, and so much culture came out of Germany. So he selected Joseph Goebbels and financed Goebbels' worldwide campaign to change it from 432 to 440. So it was actually John D. Rockefeller's idea. So we're back to the Rockefellers and the whole nine yards that the Rockefellers have done to us.
Yeah, we're back to the Rockefellers and that little bag of lizards.
Yep.
So do you have any idea where he got that idea from?
I'm not really sure. I've never been able to actually track that down. I've tracked it down to the idea actually came from him, and his money was poured into Goebbels to do the campaign. And the campaign failed several times before it was actually taken up. I think Rockefeller had to pour a bunch of money in and buy a bunch more minions to finally get the change, because there was a big resistance to it. People understood that the 432 resonated with the human body. And it was a hard sell on Goebbels' point. On Garble's part, to actually sell it and finally get the Universal Committee to agree, okay, we'll change all the instruments to this tuning. It was actually a very hard sell, because 432 people resonated with. And do you know that the church organs to this day are still tuned to 432?
No, I didn't, so but I would expect
only
it.
Place That's the only place you're actually exposed to the frequency, so you get a spiritual lift in church.
Ah, very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. One of my listeners, Norm, Norm Freedom, is often, he's a total organ fan. He just loves, he goes to all these different recitals, and that's a good one for him. Yeah, let me, if he's online, I haven't seen him tonight. But he's not here. So, that's fascinating, Larry. So what's your stick? What kind of rock do you play? Do you play blues rock, jazz rock, heavy rock? Rock?
it's sort of I'm born and raised in New Orleans, so my music is my own, and it has a very New Orleans jazz, blues, and influence, you know. I really don't play much music by other people. I learned other people's music so that I could learn how to play. But then once I knew how to play and I had my dexterity down, I took off in my own direction. And my music is very much my own. And it's very much New Orleans jazz, blues, and influence.
Lovely.
Basically, three, four, five progressions with certain jazz and blues rhythms.
3-4-5 progression. Yeah, you see, because I understand what that means, and it's interesting that there are these notations, you know, degrees of the scale and all of that stuff, because it all adds itself back to the whole geometry of music and how it's like, it's a proven thing. You can't argue with it, you know? You can't argue with tonal intervals, because they are they're related to geometric measurements and whole number fractions.
Right.
And that's the whole argument for 432, is that it's connected with whole numbers.
And 432 is the square root of the speed of light.
There's a good one. So 432 squared.
Is the speed of light.
Is. Yeah, but no, it's because MC squared, you know, energy is MC squared, mass times the speed of light squared. So the speed of light squared is, so it's 432 times 432 times 432 times
right.
through times mass is energy. So there's a relationship between.
It's 432 times 432 squared times mass.
Yeah.
432 right. squared is the speed of light, and then you square that again times mass is energy.
So what I'm saying is that there's a relationship even between
432, oh, yeah.
the relationship of 432 and energy itself.
Yes, definitely.
And energy is intelligent cosmos material, which is part of the intelligent cosmos consciousness, which we call God.
Right.
Or the One, or the Source, or the this or the that, or the Great Pumpkin, or the great Doctor Who episode. Awesome. Yeah.
And we are so limited. We only hear 8 octaves, and we can only see, what is it, like 5 or 6 octaves, and we're blind to the rest of the world around us. Everything in life is all octaves. Mathematical mechanics of music and the octaves, and you keep doubling and keep doubling, you get into the life frequencies. It's all the same energies in different frequencies. It all matter, all existence, all sound, all light is all vibrations in different octaves. And we only hear 11 octaves in C5, I think is what it is. I don't get the numbers up.
I actually think we see fewer octaves than that, because 660 to 415 or whatever is, you know, it's less than one octave in terms of the wavelength of light.
Right.
So I think we actually only see, we hear, certainly we hear a lot of, well, a piano, more or less, you know, the big grand piano is more or less our frequency range.
You get 88 keys, which is 11 octaves, basically.
Yeah.
Wait,
so
no, it's eight octaves.
Is it eight octaves? Yeah. 88 is maybe seven.
12 notes to an octave is not even eight octaves.
Yeah, yeah. So
and we hear a little bit lower than the 20 of the lowest note, and we hear a little bit higher than the highest E. So we hear about eight octaves.
That's right. So this is that's the if you want to, you know, we're talking about the relationship between late wavelength and frequency. If you imagine on a piano, your low notes are very long, very thick, very loosely tuned strings, and the high notes are very short, very taut. Strings that are very thin, that are
small diameters.
Yeah, so that creates your higher frequency. Like, you know, a big bell makes a low note, a little bell makes a high note. So,
right.
When you're talking about wavelength, the bigger number is a lower note. So, a red is a lower note than a blue, and a red is 660 nanometers. And a blue is 415 nanometers or something like that.
Right.
You see, I got into this when I had I saw a person who was talking about using electro, no, sorry, hang on, not electro. Here is hijacker. Optical. Yeah. Optical, no, don't go off there. Oh, stupid phone. Yeah, photonic, that's the word. Photonic acupuncture. And you use a high-powered LED that is set to 660 nanometers, which is a kind of orangey red. That's why I know that particular frequency. And then I discovered later that there's another frequency, which is the frequency that activates chlorophyll, which is in the 400 band, which is a blue frequency. So there's very little difference in frequency, in wavelength, to inside visible light. It is a really, really narrow stretch, narrow little octave. It's less, almost less than an octave, I think, of the light that we're looking through. So we were.
Yeah, we're quite blind.
Yes, we're very, very blind. We don't see, you know, infrared at all, and that's probably where most of the action happens. Hi, Jacker. Hi, how are you doing?
I got a couple good ones for you, JP. Real quick, just a minute.
Coming up to the top of the hour, so maybe take your time and give us one, and then we'll go on the other side of the hour. Okay.
Okay. Well, we know that in the Bible it says God spoke and it was, and we know for a fact scientifically that you know, everything's made of atoms, and then ultimately it goes back to frequency. In fact, the smallest particle, smaller than the proton and the neutron, they couldn't be so small, JP, but what they did were able to get is the signature, basically how it moved. And so they were comparing the smallest of small things, which they knew was there. I think maybe it's the Higgs boson, maybe. But anyways, its signature was the same signature as a sound wavelength. So here it is, the smallest thing. And we know that the scriptures talk about the unseen make up the seen. So the smallest unseen thing turns out to be frequency. That's just one thing I want to hit you with. You've heard that one before, though, right, JP?
Of course, that's what they've been saying all along. You know, the old mystics are saying everything is sound, everything is light, everything is energy.
Right, right. Well, I've got, here's one for you. You're going to enjoy this one. So, Admiral Byrd, he went into the Antarctic, supposedly, there was a race of giants down there. He said they had modern cities, trains that ran magically on what we know now as mag rails. And one of the things he put in his diary is he was asking them, what are they about? What do they do? And they said, we make music, all kinds of music. And that's one thing that was in the diaries was that these giants were really, they were really, really into sound. And they were in the music. So let's fast forward up to the 60s. Now we come to find out that all of these musicians, go ahead, JP.
We'll come back after the end of the after the hour, and we'll connect with the hijacker again and understand what he was talking about.